This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, continuing my conversation with Michael Yan. He's in Panama City. He's watching the migrants return from Mexico or the United States. It is not clear which, sometimes. Michael's accounting for a hotel in downtown Panama that's being used for the returning migrants in some fashion. Michael also is about to tell us about how they leave Panama City and where they go and how, or what he's learned so far. And the first thing is, what kind of numbers are necessary in order to meet the goals set by the Trump administration during the campaign and most recently? 5, 7, 9 million people. There is no single number for what came in the last 4 years, but we have a good idea what can go out, and Michael's about to tell us. Here's Michael Yan in Panama City.
I've been saying for a while, we need to deport 500,000 a month. We need to deport 500,000 a month and defund and start prosecuting people at the United Nations, or you're not even serious. You're not even serious at all. If you're deporting 100,000 a month, you're a joke.
All right, Michael, the people...
If you're not defunding United Nations, it's a joke.
The people in downtown Panama, Panama City, who are staying in a hotel that's entirely for them, are they all single males of draft age, or are there women and children there?
Definitely females. I don't know about children. Like, for instance, about 2 weeks ago, a Chinese female escaped. It was all over the news in Panama. Like, yo, a Chinese woman escapes. You know, we know that more than 25,000 Chinese made it through the Darien Gap just in 2023. We know that. More than 500,000 people came through just the Darien Gap in 2023. That doesn't include flows that go from Nicaragua and Mexico and Canada and Bahamas, I mean, or student visas and that sort of thing, and work visas. I mean, we know more than, I want to say this very clearly, we know for a fact more than 500,000 came through the Darien Gap in just 2023, and more than 25,000 were Chinese. And we know their names. And the bottom line is, one woman escapes and it's national news. You can't make up this stuff. Let me say this. So I sent this message to Mike Flynn and Tom Homan and Eric Prince, because Eric said that he's, you know, got a plan to deport 500,000 a month at, you know, and blah, 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 blah for $25 billion. Right. And this is the message I sent to those three. And I sent it to you. If you're serious about this, then we got to send ships up the Mississippi River. They got to go to Charleston and Los Angeles and San Francisco and up in Oregon. And we've got to have ships down in Miami and Tampa loading the ships up with these people in a reverse Camp of the Saints. You're just out, and because airplanes are not going to be enough, right? We've got to put them on ships. I mean, we've really got to merchant marine this thing and get these people out of here. And remember, as you've accurately said many times, Trump's power will begin to abate within 2 years, right? And you've either done it or you've not. You've either broken the mat. And if you're going to break the plumbing of what's happening, you've got to go for the United Nations. Otherwise, right now, all I'm seeing is optics and a reduction of flows. Because as you said, 29,000 encounters just in January. I mean, think about that. We look at that as a low number now, but 29,000, that's about 1,000 a day encounters. And we know how they mess with the numbers. They mess with the numbers big time to suit whatever. We all know that, right? And that's still a huge amount, right? And remember, all these people that are in the United States now, they're having babies. They're having babies very fast. The grass is growing, right? We've got to deport now, and I mean massive numbers. It's going to require ships.
Can you characterize the returning migrants that you've seen both at that hotel and at the airport or the bus station? Are they single males? Are they families? Are they older males? What do they look? Is there a general way to picture them?
Mostly males, 20 to 30s. Yeah,
so draft age male. And that's Venezuelans?
Yeah, I mean, there's some children. Down here, now, I don't know about the hotel because I didn't see the children, right. Any children in the hotel. I didn't wait there all night and day for buses to come, and I didn't hire somebody to do it either. Down in the ones that were trying to get on the boat, the other float, yeah, there were children. In fact, like I said, an eight-year-old just recently drowned on the way out. That's why they closed that route.
All right. Now, we know because we watched through your eyes – in 21 and 22 and 23, the arrivals from the Gap, crossing the coming up the river, and then getting the bus to Panama City and north to Costa Rica. We know there were lots of women by themselves with babies or pregnant women. We saw them. And they were from all over the world, but especially Haiti. We believe they were from Cuba, but certainly Haiti and other countries. And they were coming with small children. They were carrying them. We saw them, Michael. You've made videos of all of them. You've showed them to members of Congress. They're not being returned, I take it. You don't see any of those people, those young women with babies or pregnant women, coming through.
The only ones that we've physically seen with our eyes appeared to be Venezuelans, and I'm told there were Colombians as well, but I didn't speak with any of the Colombians. I didn't see any what I thought were Haitians. If I did, I would have walked up and spoken with them. But I think what we're seeing, the voluntary returns that are going through Panama now, I think that they, at least the bulk of them, never made it to the United States,
okay,
which means they're basically, it's just the pipeline, you know, going back out the pipe, having not succeeded in its mission.
All right. So, and to be in that hotel, Panama government is cooperating in some fashion. Is that a fair guess?
Oh yeah, there's dozens of policemen there guarding it, and immigration as well. Like, if you're in Panama, you can go to Panama City, go to the Decapolis Hotel. There's a restaurant right between the Decapolis and the Megapolis. You can sit there outside and eat lunch and watch.
And the people inside,
do they
come outside, or do they stay inside as if it's a friendly prison? What about
it's a friendly prison. In fact, when we were inside, downstairs at the lobby, you could see immigration was, they were taking meals up the elevator in those styrofoam, like, you know, eat in the room meals, right? They were, you know, putting them on the luggage carts and taking meals up the elevator.
Right.
So, I mean, so it's clear that it's, you know, and again, when the Chinese woman, you know, escaped, it was all over the news. You know,
what you're describing, Michael, cannot be scaled up. You can't turn that into 1,000 a day being sent through Panama back to Ecuador, Venezuela. Ecuador was the number two for a while coming through the Gap. Haiti and Cuba also came through the Gap back in 21-22. We saw people from Nepal. We saw people from Afghanistan. We saw people from West Africa. Pretty much, Michael, you were picking, I mean, remember those books that you took a look at? They were from all over the South. They were the Global South. That's who was coming through.
Yeah, we know a lot more about that now than we did earlier. I mean, we have textured information about who came through.
Right? So, but you're not seeing those same. It was your give us your lame, your halts, your sick, your needy. I mean,
that's nonsense. The Chinese coming through, and the Afghans and the Iranians. I mean, we talk with them all the time when they're coming through. And typically the Afghans, who are supposed to be so poor, and the Iranians, who are supposed to be so poor, and the Chinese, who are supposed to be so poor, nearly all of them tell us they pay $20,000 to $30,000 to come that route. $20,000 to $30,000, that's numbers we hear over and over and over, and that's per head, right? So if you got a family of five, well, scale that up, $20,000 to $30,000.
That was the snakeheads, also called coyotes. And that's the cartels, or was that official?
What's a cartel, actually? Because when you like the Imbra Indians that I'm out with all the time, are they a cartel? I mean, that's just where they live. So when they put them on their piragua boats, their dugout canoes, which we're on, you know, a lot down there, and it's basically a water taxi, you know?
Right.
I mean,
what, right.
The taxi driver, a member of the cartel, the bus drivers, the airplanes,
right.
You know,
right.
United Airlines, are they part of the cartels? What I'm getting to is, all along, the cartels are United Nations, highest,
right.
Catholic Charities, Norwegian right. Refugee Councils, Red Cross openly handing out maps, detailed maps. We were just looking at one last night. So the cartels are United States government, Border Patrol. I've been across the entire U.S. southern border, all the way, right from SpaceX to San Diego. It took months to do this. And I have seen thousands and thousands of these invaders loaded up by Border Patrol.
The Iranians and the Afghans did not pay $15,000 to the United States of America. Who took the money?
Oh, all along the way, you're paying different people. You're paying for your flights. You're paying for – I mean, again, are the airlines who knowingly take them to Brazil and Quito, Ecuador, are they part of the cartels? The buses, the hotels that they stay in, are they the cartels? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The boat ride from Nacogdoches to Copacabana, is that cartel? I don't know. I mean, what I'm saying is it's all these different ecosystems that you're passing through. It's like Lord of the Rings. Now we're going over the mountain. You know what I mean? It's like now we're with the Kuna Indians. Now we're with the Imbara Indians. Now we're with the Panamanian government. Now we're with the Costa Rican government. You know?
In order to make 500,000, whatever, whenever, however timeline, you would have to have a stream of buses going south from Panama City every hour of the day. That is not happening, I presume.
No, there's no way that they would do this without us seeing it. I would see it instantly. I've got a vibrant network here. There is no way you're going to go through that. This is going to happen without me noticing within hours.
Everybody at that hotel is arriving by aircraft, or are they coming in by bus?
I'm told that those have come in by aircraft, but I don't know. I haven't been able to talk with every one of them. And like, how did you get sent back? Did you get arrested or what? The bottom line is, I think what you need to do is you have to use ships. You have to come up the Mississippi River, high up there, Memphis, wherever you're going, and load them up on ships and go to Charleston, go to Miami, go to Tampa, go to Los Angeles and San Francisco, load up the ships and start arresting people. I mean, kicking down doors, right? So that people realize, hey, I can either deport myself on my terms, or I could get a, you know, flashbangs at 3 a.m, right?
Right.
Then you may cause an honest, tide to go out, which could result in a lot of buses coming the other direction.
What you're testifying to is that is not happening now. I'm just trying to fix where we are.
Not happening. Right. Not happening.
But there are announcements of deporting men with criminal records or in some fashion have come up against the law for whatever reason, driving without a license or picked up for vagrancy. We don't know. What we're not hearing is that women and families are being deported. We're not hearing that here, and you're not seeing it either. You haven't seen it anyway.
Not deported from the United States. So in other words, again, the ones that we were speaking with at Carti, they had made it to Mexico, the ones that we spoke with, right? They did not make it to the United States. And so these are still just in the pipeline and flushing back out of the same pipeline, having never crossed into the United States.
Back to Panama, the government of Panama. This is okay with them? Do we believe they're being paid extra, a premium to put up with this? I mean, you're talking about potentially bringing several million people through Panama in some fashion. Unless they're going to fly everybody back to their country of origin, which I doubt, they've got to get them to Panama. And then what happens, Michael? They're not going to go through the Darien Gap. So
no.
Where are they going after Panama City and how?
I mean, you got to get on a boat. And Cologne, you know, the immigration said right in front of us to those 50 or 60 Venezuelans just days ago that they're shutting down the Carti route and they're going to have to go through Cologne by boat.
So they're going to take a boat from Cologne back down to Nacogdoches, which was where that's where you met the young Haitian family at Nacogdoches when you crossed into Panama.
That's right. We met in Misako, and Chuck kept in contact with Medese, as you recall. That was in Nacogdoches. So they will bring them not to Nacogdoches, but to Copacabana, right? Which is, and then they have to take a boat. This is, if you're going to play by man-sized rules here, you would do it something like this. Venezuela, you will take these people back. If Venezuela says no, okay, we will seize part of Venezuela, and we will seize the beach here, and we will bring the boats, and we will dump them out, Venezuelans on your shores.
But
we'll dump the Colombians out there too. We will just seize part of your land,
right,
we will dump them out for you. Either take them on your own terms or we will give them to you on our terms.
I understand you're coming up with solutions. That's your nature, Michael. I want to fix what's happening now to see if there's going to be improvement. They're leaving colon, and they're going, taking them to Colombia. Is that where they're taking them?
Yes. Now, we have not been back to Cologne to, I mean, I go to Cologne now and then, but I haven't been there since immigration just days ago said that they're going to start using Cologne as the route. I'll go down there in the next few days and have a look. But right now, I don't know the numbers that are going through there. It can't be very big or I would have noticed already. If the numbers are big, I'm going to notice immediately because I just know too many people here.
How are they going from Panama City to Cologne? Are they flying them? Is there a bus route?
Well, the ones who had made it down to Carti, which is near Darien, it's on the Gulf side. It's at the Cuna Indian near San Blas Islands. All the tourists go on Carti. All the tourists who have been to San Blas will know Carti. That's where they got on the boats to go to San Blas. The immigration was sending a bus. They only needed one bus, maybe two, to pick up the people. It's only, you know what I mean?
I'm thinking about scaling up. You would have to have buses out of Panama. If you fly them into Panama City, put them on buses, you go to Cologne, you get on a boat, you go to Colombia, and then you're on your own. Once you're in Colombia, you can go anywhere.
That's your business. Have fun. You know, I mean, you're out. All we care about is you go back to the country you came from and you're on your own.
And you can't leave them in Panama because that means they have to do reverse Darien Gap, which would be a choke point.
Now I'm talking about multiple flows back out of the United States that I would do. Multiple flows. I mean, and one would be just forcing people to say, hey, I don't want to be in America anymore. I can't get a job without being arrested. I can't, you know, and start arresting people that shouldn't be there. And so that people start selling their tools, and, you know, if they're doing illegal work and taking the money and going home. Right.
That would be one flow. We have not heard Colombia say no at returning migrants in some fashion. We've not heard anything about them being turned away by Colombia. Is that correct?
Not to my knowledge. And again, we could easily, you know, there's a border there by the sea, you know, Colombia and Venezuela. We could put them out, you know, anywhere we want. We just seize the beaches and say you're home.
Do you meet any Ecuadorians? Because they were number two for a while.
I didn't see any when we were just down at Carti. That doesn't mean there weren't any there. We saw huge numbers of Ecuadorians come in through the Darien Gap, and I met many coming through at McAllen, and I met many coming through Eagle Pass and different parts of, you know, Texas. And there was many. I was meeting Ecuadorians all the time.
Right, right.
But I haven't met any going back. It doesn't mean they're not going back. It means I just haven't met them.
Do you see any Nepalese? Remember that Nepal man you met very early on when you were first there in 21. Have you seen anybody from the subcontinent? Anybody? India, Pakistan, Nepal, anything?
I didn't see any. And if I saw any, keep in mind, I spent a year in India and about a year in Nepal, right? So about 2 years, so I can recognize them instantly. And when I see Indians or who I think are Bangladeshis, I've been there as well. When I see people that I think are Nepalese or Indian or Bangladeshi, I immediately go talk with them. And I haven't seen any, like in that group of 50 or 60 that when we were just down in Carti, I did not see any that looked like they were from South Asia.
I'm trying to figure out what group they're starting with. It sounds like they're starting with South Americans, Latin Americans. It sounds like that includes the Venezuelans. We don't know about Ecuador. And you say there are Chinese nationals. You've seen some coming back, whether they're being deported or whether they're turning back because the border's choked. We don't know. Have you seen Chinese nationals in that hotel?
I didn't see them myself. However, we know that they're there. For instance, the one Chinese woman was in the Panamanian news having escaped. And it's in the Panamanian news, like La Prensa, that, you know, the hotel has Chinese and Indians and that sort of thing. But they hold up messages in the windows like "Help us." That's, you know, the information war thing.
There was a time you were at the gate to San Vicente camp, built up by the generosity of Homeland Security, and a young draft age, tall Chinese man, young man approached you. And you put him on video, and he didn't have English, so he used his smartphone to ask you which way to San Vicente. Do you recall that, Michael?
Oh, many, many like that. So many. But yeah, I remember. I can think of So many that come up with the app and they're like, where's San Vicente? Yeah.
Well, all right. Where is he?
I don't know. We track some of them. For instance, we know that one good person to interview would be Lawrence Sellin. He is a retired colonel. He lives in Finland, retired U.S. Army colonel. And Lawrence tracks the Chinese like crazy. He's very meticulous. He tracked one guy that we gave him information on coming through the Darien Gap, and he found that he got a driver's license up in New York within about 1 week or 10 days. You'd have to ask Lawrence for details. Lawrence Sellin.
All right. So we don't know where he is, and we don't know. Remember, we knew a couple of filmmakers who came through Ecuador. They landed in Quito. They took the bus from a hotel that was entirely Chinese, as I recall. And all
Anthony Rubin.
Yes.
Anthony Rubin.
And the hotel was entirely Chinese. We don't know where they are, and you don't see any. You think the Chinese nationals are there, but they were in great numbers, Michael. Yes, those were hundreds.
Hundreds. We know that at least 25. I'm saying this for a fact. This isn't any kind of speculation or estimation. We know for a fact that more than 25,000 Chinese came through just in 2023. I'll repeat, more than 500,000 people came through. That's right. A fact.
That's
the Darien Gap in 2023, and more than 25,000 were Chinese. Now, Anthony Rubin, he got a document in Mandarin, about 200 pages. Anthony's he's on muckraker.com. I took Anthony down to the Darien. We went across the southern border together, about half of the southern border probably together. And Anthony and I worked together quite a lot. But Anthony somehow got his hands on a document in Mandarin, about 200 pages. He got it translated to English, and he realized all the routes, like the hotels and the snakeheads and the phone numbers. So he flew down to Quito, and he went through the route with the Chinese. So he stayed in their hotels and that sort of thing. And then we met with Anthony on his way when up in Guatemala, and then he got kidnapped in Mexico.
Right.
But he's
but you yeah. don't you don't see anything like those numbers in Panama City of Chinese nationals. You say you have one confirmed Chinese national female. That's all you've seen. That's all you can confirm.
That was in the news, having escaped from the Decapolis Hotel. Right. She was in the news as having escaped. But yeah, that's all that's confirmed according to the it's confirmed according to the Panamanian news. Let's put it that way.
Now, I observe, Michael, bringing that scale of migrant through Panama, that would destabilize any normal country. Is Panama ready for this? Can they handle that tens of thousands coming through there to head to Cologne, to head back to Colombia? It sounds overwhelming.
I started warning the Panamanian government about this several years ago. You know, this could destabilize Panama. I mean, it's not like you're the most stable country in the world, you know. And obviously, this can be used to destabilize Panama. And it has. Like, there's Venezuelans all over the place. You know, and the Panamanians argue about it because the Venezuelans actually, and the Panamanians will tell you this. This isn't coming from me. This is coming from Panamanians. The Panamanians will tell you that the Venezuelans work harder, right? So they get a lot of the jobs, like as a waiter or a waitress or something, right? And so that's Panamanians tell you that, right? So they take our jobs, you know, and because they work harder. You know, it's like Chinese come and take American jobs. Because Chinese will often work harder, right? No question about it. And, you know, it's funny. I found a book about, again, making the canal. And long before the canal was made, it was railway times. Actually, I'll send you a copy of the pages. But they're talking about how hard the Chinese work. This is like the 1850s. So this is way back, not during canal time, but during railroad time. And how most of the others don't work as hard as the Chinese. So that's how the Chinese, you know, through their own virtues, actually pull ahead. And the Venezuelans do tend to work harder than the Panamanians, according to the Panamanians.
You have a Chinese population in Panama that are Panamanians. Is there a Chinatown in Panama City?
Oh, yeah. And keep in mind, as you know, there's different groups of Chinese. You follow this a lot. And there, you know, there's some that speak Cantonese and some that speak Fujianese and some that speak Mandarin and that sort of thing. And of course, they fight each other and that sort of thing. But a lot of Panamanians actually or let's say people with Panamanian passports now, and I don't know the numbers, are actually Chinese, because you can come in here and buy like a teak farm and get a passport, and the and your cedula, your Panamanian ID, will have a number that indicates that you were born here, right? So in other words, if you want to launder, people launder more than money. They also launder citizenship. If you want to launder your citizenship, you can, if you're Chinese and you've got money, which a lot of them got a lot of money, they can come to Panama, and through various mechanisms like getting a teak farm, you can get a Panamanian passport. And then with that relatively strong Panamanian passport, you can then get a passport from a third country. And now your identity is actually laundered. It looks like you got your passport from the third country, but you're actually a Panamanian citizen. But in fact, you were born in, you know, Shanghai or something.
Are there still buses arriving from the Gap that you know?
About maybe one a day.
Okay. That's how it started when you were there in 21. You remember how clumsy the apparatus was in 21.
Yeah, and keep in mind, all that infrastructure is still in place.
Right.
So this is just a pause. The plumbing is still there.
Michael Yon, he is in Panama City observing several phenomena at the same time. The reverse migration, the deportation, at the same time, arrivals, a small number, but about the number that we witnessed in 21 through Michael's eyes. And then we have the Panama government, which is not at this point friendly and not at this point easily characterized because of the intention by the U.S. to defend it against, for national security reasons. They also have a problem that has nothing to do with the U.S. It has to do with their copper mine and the revenue from the copper mine. Michael's reporting from the thing itself. We don't know what all this means. That's why Michael's very good to give us what he sees. Eventually, we'll put it all together, and it might take a couple of years. Through Michael's eyes, we couldn't understand what he was seeing in 21 and 22. We couldn't figure it out. Who was in charge of this? Who was doing it? Michael spent time with the indigenous people. They didn't have answers. There was opportunism. There was a way for people to come in and get cash by communicating with Panama City. There were people coming through sleeping rough every night, very rough. There were people being drowned by the flash floods in the rivers. We didn't know anything about why this was happening. Now we do. We have a very good perspective on it. So I mention that because in a year or two, we'll understand what Michael has just reported on and what's feeding it, what's feeding this return route back to Colombia. Michael Yon, it's for Twitter, it's at @Michael_Yon. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. Raw data, that's what we've got here. I'm John Batchelor.